Welcome to the Isaka Podcast. This week on the Offstage and Off-Script series of the podcast, we're coming to you from New York City, site of the Info Security Isaka North America Expo and Conference. I'm your host, Jay Schwab, and joining me today is Rochelle Vargas, Audit Manager of Data Analytics with Ally. Rochelle is presenting at the conference on the evolution of computer-assisted audit tools. Rochelle, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So to start out, for those who might not be as familiar, what are some of the main uses for computer-assisted audit tools and why are they important?
Some of the main uses for computer-assisted audit tools are really to help the user, or in our case, the audit teams, perform testing. So for example, if you are doing anything that's at a transactional level, anything that you can get access to, for this instance, for this conference, if you have project logs or if you've got any sort of information on the back end that you need to review, what computer-assisted audit tools can do is go through that data quickly, and it can either do keyword searches for certain things. It can categorize and summarize your data pretty quickly. They're important because it really speeds up the testing for the user. So something that could take, manual through Excel, 6, 8, 12, 16 hours, what have you, 2 days. Using computer-assisted audit tools, it allows the user to be able to look at the data holistically, and they're able to analyze it with any of the commands that are built into the application to use, again, within minutes. So you cut that time down from manual testing, 4, 6, 12 hours, what have you, down to 20, 30 minutes.
How did these tools become an area of interest for you in the first place?
So I had experience actually in marketing analytics and pricing. So this audit phase of my career is actually my second part. So as far as analytics go, it's really the future and the trend. So being a data-driven auditor, I think in the industry it's called the auditor of the future, someone who can combine analytics and also some of the traditional testing methods or traditional methodology. Being able to have that mindset and be able to, use these tools and make things faster, make things more efficient, that's kind of how I got involved in it. And I'm a believer of trying to make things more efficient, not that it's necessarily bad to do manual things or, to look at things in detail, but it's just easier if you're able to automate a lot of things, especially if you have to keep doing it in the future.
What are some of the main components of script automations that might be helpful for your session attendees at this conference and the listeners to understand?
So some of the information that I'll be going over or demoing in my session is techniques that can be applied to really any testing. So for example, if I'm going over visual analytics, it might not be apples to apples with the information that I'm presenting, but hopefully on a conceptual level, listeners and attendees will be able to at least take the idea of the technique that I'm presenting and be able to use that to their data set. So one of the things that we try to do just in the day-to-day is try to get people to think outside of the box. And so hopefully some of the examples that I'll be presenting will give people more thought into how they can probably try to perform testing better or differently than what they're used to.
From a desktop automation perspective, what are some examples of high-value tasks where this would really make sense as opposed to others where it might be less useful?
Yep, I think for some examples of high value tasks are those that I think, like I mentioned before, that take a lot of time to process. So if you're looking at data sets and you're doing it quite often, let's say there's, data that you pull every Monday that takes you about 2 hours to go through or produce a report. From a desktop automation perspective, and it's not too many steps in the process, this would probably be something that we would be able to simplify very easily, as opposed to something that's a little bit more ad hoc. Is it something that you do twice a year? Maybe that might not be the best timing for it, especially if things change, if scope changes. But if there's something that's repetitive that, can be done quicker and faster because you do it on a cadence, that's probably your best bet for some of those things.
What are some challenges involved with getting these automations in place in the first place?
So I think with audit, we have a lot of rules in place or a lot of things that we need to adhere to. So pushing analytics and pushing automation, I think some of the challenges that I've faced before is trying to get people on board. So it's, you know, change is different for everyone. I'm trying to think of an approach differently when it comes to the same results. Sometimes that's hard to implement. For example, you know, I think with the younger, more test execution auditors, your first, second level or years out from college, they're more acceptable to change. They're more willing to take the time to kind of understand what it means and then use it to make their job easier. Whereas I think people who have been around for a little bit longer, who are more tenured or more experienced, it's harder for them to kind of get on board. So if they're Excel users, that's okay. But then going beyond that, that's the challenge, is trying to get them to kind of see a little things a little bit differently. And in the end, it's really just trying to simplify their process so that we can give them time back in their day to do other things.
Is there a certain message or certain use case that tends to really help to get people excited or to get people on board? What works to get people receptive to going down this path?
Sure. I think anytime that there is automation that we can do that we've actually proved out to have findings, like say, for example, like potential issues that end up getting reported and then management has to do something in place to kind of remediate that. Once they can see that, I think that gives us the credibility to consider using it more often. I know there are some things that we have simplified in the past that took a while for others to kind of get on board on, but then once they started seeing other people and seeing the results and seeing like how efficient it was for them, then they started to kind of ask more questions or inquire. Like I said, not every example is going to be apples to apples. So just as far as if, as people can grasp the concept of what we're trying to do, you know, eventually they'll kind of come back on board and get some assistance as far as they might need a couple of sessions to try to make sense with their data because it might just be a little bit different.
How does data visualization fit in with this process?
So data visualization, we've actually seen it occur twice or two different ways. For example, we've seen some of our analysis being done the traditional way where it's whether it's Excel or if it's numbers based, and then we put it into a data visualization tool for the user to view. Or we actually tried it recently the opposite way, where we threw the data into a data visualization tool and then started to look at the data and explore it and then start to sample from different things that we saw there. So we've tried it one way, which I think is more traditional, where you do your work kind of like the standard process and then seeing what it looks like. And then again, we tried it a little bit differently where we visualized it first and then kind of cut back into what we usually do.
Can that data visualization piece be kind of fun?
Yes, definitely the creation of it is a lot of fun. I think from an audit perspective, you know, when you're used to doing testing, using the same tools, you know, you're documenting things. When you get a tool, you know, like Tableau or Power BI, any sort of visualization tool, it's fun to get into and start to, you know, take your standard graphs and put them into something that can be more interactive, something that you can make these dashboards, which you can kind of make in like Excel or something that's a little bit more traditional. But with some of the applications that are coming out, there's a lot of neat things that you can do. You know, you could take it as far as box and whisker graphs or like heat maps, or like I think one of the things I like to do are called lollipop maps or donuts. So again, it's really just, it's fun, it's innovative, it's definitely moving towards the future.
And speaking of the future, as we head toward the new decade, what are some future trends in this area that you would expect to see?
As far as trending, you know, we are kind of in the desktop automation, robotic process automation. The next steps, I would think, machine learning and definitely artificial intelligence. With audit, it's a little difficult because we're looking back at audit periods to kind of uncover some of the issues that might come up or, you know, review some of the risks that are in the industry. So to the machine learning, I think, is really the next step. So it's taking the data that we've collected and then, you know, we've reviewed, we've pushed it through continuous monitoring, but now, can we have some sort of software application predict things for us based off of historical data?
How big of a difference do you think that will make once we advance to that point where that becomes the norm?
I think it'll definitely make a difference, because especially if your modeling or your forecasting, predictive modeling, what have you, is going down the right direction. Obviously, there's going to be, you know, trial and error. Not everything's going to be perfect. But especially if you start to see a trend in what you are projecting, I think that would change the industry of audit a little bit, to where now, instead of relying on past information, if the machine can kind of start to predict riskier areas before we go in and, you know, go off of historical info, that can really change the game of audit, because at that point, then you can kind of get in before things can happen. Or, you know, instead of being reactive to certain situations, I think that there's opportunity there to be more proactive.
All right, Rochelle, thank you so much. Really appreciated your insights today, and enjoy your time at the conference
this
week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's our program for today. We'll have more interviews from the Info Security ISACA North America Expo and Conference throughout the week. Be sure to subscribe to the ISACA podcast to follow along.